Well, the red light is on. Therefore, the God School is back in session. Before we get started today, I have a serious note to you who have over the years been participating with the God School. I don't know how many times I've said this, but the God School is a joint effort. It is a joint effort between the one who teaches and the ones who are taught. You hear my voice. I want to hear from you. I don't know if you know how discouraging it is as we put the effort to put forth the truth of the gospel, the truth of Jesus Christ, the truth of God's faithfulness, and you let these messages sit dormant without comment? Now, suffice it to say, if you are listening, if you are hearing, I want to hear from you. Now, back to the study of Galatians. We ended last week in that26th verse of the third chapter of Galatians, which reads, "For ye are all children of God," and as correctly translated, "by the faith," and it's talking about the faith of Jesus, "you are all children of God by the faith in Christ Jesus." We've done this often, but we're going to do it again. This word in the Greek, pistuo, is a verb. And in the fullness of time, when Christ came, Greek dominated the language of the day. And the word that Christ reached into that language and pulled out and made it his was pisteo. Its definition is acting based upon a belief sustained by confidence. It's a verb. Now, one can choose the object of their faith. It could be faith in themselves. It could be faith in a process. It could be faith in a dream. It could be faith in someone else. Faith works. But the understanding of what Jesus did was he chose to make that word his. And the faith that the scripture speaks of is the faith in Jesus Christ. It's the faith in God's faithfulness. It's the faith in the promises of God. Hebrews 11 opens and says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Many of the promises of God are not seen, but our hope is in God's faithfulness. Our faith is in, if God said it, he will do it. As I was preparing today, I came across this verse found in the 26th verse of the 11th chapter of the Gospel of John. And it says, and let's go to the 25th verse. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that faitheth, that is faithing, as the Greek would have it, that is faithing in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and is faithing in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Do you faith this? The object of a Christian's faith is in the promises of God, not in the nuances that preachers who go outside the word and lead you astray, not what they say, it's what God says. Jesus said of the word of God, thy word is truth. And as we've often said here, that word truth, aletheia, is a synonym for reality. Now, reality has not yet been totally manifest, but Jesus has been manifest, and what Jesus has done for us has been manifest. In that, we have life in him. Six times in this Galatian letter, Paul has the phrase in Christ. He says, first in the first chapter, 22nd verse, speaking of himself, and was unknown by faith unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. He says in the second chapter, fourth verse, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately, they snuck in, to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. In the third chapter, 17th verse, and this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. That verse we ended with last week. For ye are all the children of God by the faith, Now, this is talking about Jesus' faith. We in Christ Jesus. That's where God has placed us. Those who have made God's word and his promises the object of their faith. We're in Christ. Again, in that third chapter, 28th verse, it says, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male or female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And the last time Paul uses that phrase, in Christ, he says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. Neither keeping the law or not keeping the law availeth anything, but a new creature. And Christ is formed in our hearts by faith, and we become a new creature in Christ. Now let's continue on in Galatians. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That's given. How God, our Father, looks at us as though we have put on Christ. And I don't think that Paul is necessarily talking about what they call the sacrament of baptism. It's those who have been immersed in Christ. Immersed into Christ. And to repeat what we just said a few minutes ago, for there is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond or free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now this I say, that the heir, as long as he's a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. That's talking about the law, folks. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. The law, excuse me for that, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now, what's that saying? God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Christ had to have the price of redemption, which was a perfect life according to the law, that he might redeem, that he might have the price to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Now this, the Hebrew word for father is Ab. Abba is daddy. Daddy. Think on that relationship. Wherefore, because of that, thou art no more a servant but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through or in Christ. Now, if that's the case, then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, back to the law, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as you are. Ye have not injured me at all. You know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. My temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despise not, nor rejected, but receive me as an angel of God, even as Christ. Wherein, where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it were possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them unto me. Obviously, Paul was not a perfect physical specimen when he came and preached the gospel to Galatia, to the Galatians. He had an infirmity. I don't know why it says temptation here, but the text tells us Paul had a problem with his eyes. And he says, you know, you'd have plucked out your own eyes for me at one time and given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well, those who are teaching the law. Those who are not, who are attempting to preach another gospel. Paul deals with that in that first chapter. You go read it for yourselves. He says it's not. They zealously affect you, but not well. They would exclude you, that you might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. I desire to be present with you now, Paul says, and to change my voice. For I stand in doubt of you. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? Paul gets right to the heart of the matter here. Do you not hear the law? for it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid and the other by a free woman. But he, who is of the bondmaid, was born after the flesh. But he, of the free woman, was by promise. What's the context of this? Sarah, free woman, Hagar, bondwoman. God said to Abraham and Sarah, they would have a child. They looked at each other and laughed and said, you know, old man, old lady, that's not possible. Ah, Sarah says, here, take this young bondwoman and do your thing with her. We can accomplish this in our own flesh. But Isaac was born by promise. So let's read on. Paul says, which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. That's the Ten Commandments. And all the other 613 laws found in the Pentateuch. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is the James crowd, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate has many more children than she which has an husband, the law. Now, we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise, of God's promise. But as then, he that was born after the flesh, that put confidence in the flesh. James says, you know, speak of your faith, I'll show you my works. But as then, if you were really a Christian, you would do this and you would do that. You are free. We are free in Christ Jesus. But as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman. We're not children of Mount Sinai. We are all children of God by the faith in Christ Jesus. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. And I'm having a real problem with my voice right now. And I'm going to end with this as Paul makes this declaration, which actually should be the last verse of the fourth chapter. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. free in Christ. Jesus said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And that's the God School for today.